Welcome to Reality TV. I'm your host, Jody, and this week we are going to be breaking down 90 Day Fiancé Before the 90 Days, Love After Lockup, and Married at First Sight. Now, this episode is coming to you ad-free and early this week, all of you, because unfortunately, I have some family things to attend to. I had a death in the family, and I need to go and pay my respects later on this week. So I guess that's good news for you guys. You're getting the show early. But before I get into some shallow news, I want to thank Carrie, one of my best friends, Master Sergeant in the Air Force. Carrie retired after 20 plus years of service, and I think I can speak for all of us, even if you don't know Carrie, that we salute you. I know I am guilty of this. Oftentimes we think of military and we're thinking young guys in camo and them looking hot as fuck in their uniforms. But listen, women serve too, and I think that is so badass. So here is to Carrie, here's to every woman in the military, military spouses and families. You're all sacrificing too, and we all love you. Carrie, I am so incredibly proud to call you one of my best friends. I'm saluting you right now the way that you taught me. Love you forever. Congratulations, Master Sergeant. Now, speaking of retiring, Bethany has retired from The Real Housewives of New York. I think I might be alone in this because the social media, I don't know if you want to call it backlash, but the chatter on Twitter and Instagram, people were devastated. I even saw people go so far as to say they are not going to watch the show anymore or they need to recast everyone. I'm on the complete other side of the spectrum. I'm okay with it. I feel like the last couple seasons, yeah, she's had some funny one-liners, but a lot of the attention is always brought back to Bethany, and it's always the same thing. She's very upset about Jason and her daughter, and she's dating some new person. I'm totally fine. Let's get maybe one or two new cast people in there. Cast people? What the fuck am I saying? Let's get one or two more ladies in there. Obviously, Barbara. She cannot come back. Let's not go Cindy Barshop. Let's not go Kristen Takeman. I actually saw a couple people say, oh, bring Takeman back. No, let's not. If we have to see her husband wearing that stupid hat that he wears, that straw fedora. No, get the hell out of here. I would be devastated if Sonia left, if Ramona left. I could do without the Countess. I don't think she's funny or charming anymore. I don't think she's in on the joke like some people say she is. Keep Sonia, keep Ramona. Oh, God. I mean, I guess if we had to get rid of Sonia, but I can't lose my Ramona. She is a train wreck. She's a horrible person. And I love watching her on TV. Now, I did hear a guy in the grocery store. I swear to God, this is a true story. Sunday morning, minding my own business, flipping through my little app, trying to find the best deals on, I don't know, Pringles or popcorn or whatever the hell. And I hear a man turning the corner of the aisle, like heading into my aisle. And he's with his wife, I'm guessing, like mid-50s. They look kind of sporty, like they just finished playing golf or tennis together. And he starts saying to his wife in a very loud voice, like you could tell he was feeling very confident. He thought what he was saying was hilarious. And he said, I couldn't believe it. I mean, skinny girl popcorn, it is delicious. Oh, we have to see what it is. Oh, how much is it? I love this popcorn. And he turns a corner and he sees me standing there. Of course, he's talking about how he loves skinny girl popcorn. And I knew he wanted me to look up and kind of laugh along because, again, he thought he was like a real fucking stand-up comic. But I didn't. I didn't give him that satisfaction. I instead saved the story to come and tell you here on the podcast. But the best one-liner was yet to come. So now he's staring at the skinny girl. And so he says to his wife, he's trying to play it off now, you know, like comedians do. And he says, well, I just don't know why there's no skinny boy popcorn. And I could see him looking at me for like reassurance or for me to laugh along with him. No, I'm not going to do that. Number one, because it's a terrible joke. And number two, you're a fucking douchebag. If you want to go get your skinny girl popcorn, go and get your skinny girl popcorn. Don't use your wife as a beard for your popcorn. All right. Well, I don't know. Maybe you had to be there, but I love it. I love watching people embarrass themselves. And I was not going to give him the satisfaction of knowing that I was going to talk about him here to perhaps thousands of people. Now, I also have a couple thank yous. First of all, Holly. Holly is one of our apples in the Orchard of Snark, one of the lovely Claremont apples. Man, Evelyn Cormier really freaking would love you, Holly, because Holly ordered probably one of the best gifts, if not the best gift I've ever received. She ordered a cameo from the one and only Asuelu. Be still my not even close to Samoan heart. He provided the best cameo probably ever done for anyone. You can go and see it if you go to the Cameo app or cameo.com, I'm assuming. If you go to his profile, you can see previous cameos that he's done. It's Cameo for Jody. He says my name. He says Holly's name. He acknowledges the apples and the reality TV podcast. And he did a dance. He is shirtless. He is painted. He does thrusting. He does pointing. He does that shoulder move where like he looks forward and then he does like a little jerky shoulder thing from shoulder to shoulder. And there's a very hot Samoan guy in the background right at the beginning. You must go see it. Holly, thank you from the bottom of my deep black heart. And I also thank you on behalf of all of the apples because, again, he acknowledged all of us. Now it's my turn to acknowledge my newest Patreon subscribers. You guys are really coming through and thank you so, so much. This podcast thing, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of time. I love it. But, you know, it doesn't necessarily keep the lights on. Lisa, Christina, Mary, Bethany, Mallory, Audrey, Brandy, and all of the other Patreon subscribers, you guys are literally, figuratively, emotionally keeping the lights on and keeping everything going. So thank you so much. If you are interested on Patreon, head on over, check it out. There's something for everyone. Patreon.com/realityvpod. For $1 a month, you will get all of your episodes early and ad-free every single week. At the $5 a month level, you are getting early ad-free episodes. You're also getting pretty much weekly bonus episodes. I promise 2 to 4, but I'm kind of an overachiever and I'm putting out 4 a month. So you have almost 90 bonus episodes in the can. Go and check them out. They're on everything from documentaries. I have guests. We talk Teen Mom with Amanda from Amanda Loves to Hate Teen Mom. Last week, man, you guys love when I do these episodes. I call them Snark Along With Me. That's where I listen to an especially cringy, self-righteous podcast. Last week, or maybe the only ones I've ever done, are Audrey and Jeremy Roloff. You don't even need to know who they are. They are insufferable. I listen to the podcast in real time and I just make fun of the stupid shit that they say. So yeah, check that out. Like I said, lots of other bonus episodes, personal stuff, my surrogacy stories, crazy shit that happens, behind the scenes stuff with some podcasting issues. Yeah, check it out. Patreon.com/realityvpod. Let me know what you guys want up for this week. Amanda and I were going to be talking Teen Mom, but our schedules are just a little crazy. So I'm open to anything. Shall we talk blind items? Shall we do another Snark Along With Me? Shall we talk about why I keep saying shall? Let me know. Okay, so I am going to attempt to do this podcast, Meg Ryan style in Sleepless in Seattle. One long strip, just like she peels the apple. I'm going full force. We're going to jump in. Let's start with Love After Lockup. Now, before we really get into Andrea and LaMondre scenes, can I just state the obvious here? Is it necessary or even okay that every time there is a non-Caucasian couple on Love After Lockup, they segue into their scenes with like this deep bass rap kind of beat? I'm not musically inclined. I don't really know how to describe it, but it's like a bound chicka bound bound rattle, like this deep little, I don't even know. The other couples do not have the same music, and I just think that it is something to listen for. Okay, I'll leave that there. I'll let you process it and listen to it on your own. Now, Andrea, god damn it, I'm going to be doing that every single time. I'm going to be saying Andrea because I'm thinking Andrea and Lamar. How freaking close are these names? Andrea and LaMondre, Andrea and Lamar. So Andrea and her sister manager, Erica, have planned a photo shoot for her sunglass line. Well, you know I love a Google search, so I did my research and I found her site. Her iClass Okay, it's spelled I, like the letter I, K-L-A-S-S. So iClass, like a Kardashian would spell it. When you get to the site, it is so amateur. And I'm saying that, I mean, if you go and look at my website, it's pretty damn kindergarten. But hers is worse than mine, all right? She has iClass spelled all in caps, cursive letters. So a capital I in cursive and then K-L-A-S-S all in cursive caps. It looks terrible, but not as bad as the sunglasses that she's selling. These things look like something that would come in like a Michaels or Hobby Lobby craft kit for a preschooler. My kids who are in elementary school would even look at that and be like, what is that brand? It's not Jack and Jill. God damn it. Parents, you know what I'm talking about. Jack and Janie, Jane and Jack, whatever. The glasses look horrible. There's one pair that are like square lenses. Okay, so they're large square lenses. And then on the top, it's like these teardrop shaped gems that cover half the fucking glasses. So if you have these things on, you're not seeing shit. Then there's another pair that look like basic Wayfarer style, you know, just like a square normal frame. But right in the middle, like where your third eye would be, there is a massive bejeweled daisy flower. Any normal person who doesn't even have a lazy eye is going to become cross-eyed wearing these things. There's no way you can have, okay, I'm putting fingers in front of my reading glasses right now. There's no way you would be staring at that thing the entire time. It looks like shit. So I don't know what she's trying to pull off in her swimwear. She has a swimwear line as well. She didn't even take photos of it with her own models. Like it's the, you know, you can order these swimsuits and shirts and stuff like that. That's what all these little boutiques that are on Jane do. They order them from China. They resell them. That's what she's doing. So she doesn't even have her own models. You could probably do like a catfish reversed image search and you would find these exact same suits for probably less than $35. Oh, by the way, her sunglasses are selling for $65. She should probably sell them for $20 because word on the street is that she was either arrested or caught stealing sunglasses from the Sunglass Hut. I mean, if you're going to be stealing sunglasses and reselling them, wouldn't you want them to look good at least? Not make them look like shit and then mark them up. It's horrible. And look at LaMondre. He's in on this scam too. But he's just doing it more as an investor, you know, a real philanthropist, because he's matching whatever Andrea makes on her events. Let's put that in quotes. She seems to think this is such a generous gesture of him. But, you know, this $1.50 is not going to be really setting LaMondre back when he's rolling in cartel dough, allegedly. Oh, man, she's just a literal work of art, really. My kids have gotten better carnival face paint than what was on her body. I don't know if it was supposed to be smeared, and then there was like some Jackson Pollock-like splashes on her chest. And that stupid chest piercing thing. If you guys have one, please tell me the point of that. Again, I'm very concerned that it's going to be reabsorbed by her body, and it's just going to be floating around, and she's going to have an aneurysm or something. Kendra Wilkinson body paint on the night Hef chose her at the Playboy Mansion. That was not. New couple alert. Let's talk about Lizzie and Daniel. Lizzie is a 22-year-old student who met her soulmate, Daniel, a week before he went to prison. It's a recipe for a fairy tale. Daniel is 24, and he's serving 2 years for possession of narcotics. Although he has been locked up for, I think it's like 2 or 3 years, Lizzie's never gone to see him because she's busy with school and work. You mean to tell me you couldn't find time over the course of, 700 days to go and visit him? Something's up with that. I give her credit, though, for being laser focused on her sobriety and staying off pills. I think that is amazing. I just think if she's not going to go and visit Daniel, maybe she can use that time to focus on her sobriety while cleaning up this house she's living in. Is it a general store? Is it a neighborhood, like a helping pantry for people who need things? In the kitchen, okay, I took an inventory, all right? There's a high chair in the corner with a Cabbage Patch doll being sat upon, layered upon by an old Victorian baby doll that's probably haunted. And then hanging on the walls in no particular order, Okay, I'm looking at my screenshot here. Let's see. There are three sets of Easter and Christmas cookie cutters, and they're still in the packaging, you know, probably for resale. And there are three cheese slicers, a cheese grater. Probably love a good charcuterie in that house, so maybe I'll get along with them more than I thought. There are measuring cups in a plastic bag, like packaging style, then a whisk, another kind of whisk, and an orange juice juicer thing. If she addressed this somewhere on social media, because I'm assuming other people have talked about this, right? Other people have taken pictures. I would hope so. Someone tell me, because unless her family, I don't know, inherited what was left of a family Dollar Tree store or something, like her grandma left all the inventory to them, and these are now heirloom / art installation pieces, it doesn't make sense to me. So anyway, what I really found interesting, besides the, again, inventory of knickknacks, Lizzie is kind of a Libby from 90 Day Fiancé. If you don't watch that show, it's basically pot stirring. You throw one of your siblings or your family under the bus and you say that they're such assholes and they were talking shit about your boyfriend. And then your boyfriend gets pissed off and is like, fuck those assholes. I hate your family. They're all against me. And then you stand out and you're like, I don't know why they don't get along. Lizzie is pulling a Libby. And their names are way too much alike. And every Lizzie I've seen on TV is batshit crazy. Now let's talk about Lacey and John. You guys, I don't want to rag on a woman for her looks. That's not what I'm about. But I kind of feel like when you start manipulating your face into looking like a freaking Muppet, you cannot expect people not to notice. Lacey's lips are insanely large, like so large you can't tell where the lip begins or ends. And paired with the rest of the fillers and Botox she has on her face is just like this smooth canvas of bloated skin. Like it looks unhealthy. Like if she were, oh God, okay, I'm just gonna say it. If she were floating on her back in a river, I might think I found a dead body. It might happen. I mean, she's engaged to John, who's in prison for firearms, and she's blowing him off like nothing. And she's cheating on him with Shane, who's another winner. He's in prison for malicious wounding. It's great. It's going to be a perfect story for her kids' baby books. Now let's talk about Vincent and Amber. This is so fucking messed up. How is Vincent not seeing that Amber and Puppy are a legit couple? Like, she's not even shy about it. Puppy is her wife. She's going to her mother-in-law's house. He's just another willing idiot. When the truth is in your face and you're not paying attention to it, you're not asking obvious questions, I just don't feel badly for him at all. Whatever happens, he's going into it with wide eyes, literally. Angela and Tony. Tony, is that you, Tony? Oh, where are you, Tony? Come on, baby, Tony, baby. I thought I talked to myself a lot, but Angela really takes the prison potty cake on this one. She's been walking around this bus depot, the same one from last season, for what seems like hours. She might even still have been there from last season. And that one minivan, I think that guy was actually propositioning her, like, hey, you want to get raped and murdered on the highway? You go into the highway? But thank God, finally, Tony rolls up. And at that moment, I think Angela rolled down her girdle and she's ready to get it on. But first, steak. That blow off, I felt that. I don't even do what she wanted to do because, I'm sorry, I'm just not a big fan of it. Whatever, feel bad for my husband. But listen, he gets me, all right? Gets the next best thing. The fact that he turned down a little blowy for steak, and it's probably a bad steak. It's probably like a Chili's steak, or worse yet, an Applebee's. He would rather a well-done steak with ketchup than to be with Angela. Sorry, Ange. Okay, no Glorietta and Alex. Do you guys even know who I'm talking about? I don't, because I wrote down the name 2 weeks ago, and we haven't met them yet, so I'm guessing someone gets written off the show pretty quickly, and then we get another couple. Anyone have the intel on that one? Let me know. Now let's talk about Cheryl and Josh, because this is the chick I have a lot of feelings about, and none of them are good. 3 months. This chick is leaving her kids for 3 months to play house with her boyfriend or her fiance, Josh, after his release. Her dad said he ain't gonna watch the kids, but when it comes down to it, he will. Well, yeah, he ain't got no choice because he can't just leave his grandkids home alone for the 3 months that you're taking off being a neglectful parent. This would be totally different in my book if we're talking like one of the teen moms, let's say. If she were seeking treatment for something, if she were going to basic training, doing anything to better herself or her kids' futures. But this is not that. She's taking a 3-month vacation with a former felon. And I always love when these chicks are like, "You don't understand. He really goes out of his way and takes time to treat me like a princess." What don't they get about the fact that they only have time on their hands? Like, he didn't go out of his way except for maybe stepping around the guys making prison hooch and honey bun bunt cakes. He's using money that you gave him, that you put on his account, to call you. Another willful idiot, just like Vincent. And I really, really hope that the ring that she bought, I'm hoping they're from Walmart, possibly the same jewelry case where the one and only Gary Shirley from Anderson, Indiana, where he bought that knockoff J-Lo pink simulated diamond for Amber. Oh, I hope she knows the return policy. We know it, right, guys? 30 days with a receipt, Walmart. And while she's at it, perhaps she should return that FLDS dress that she was wearing. What the holy Jehovah was that? That thing was floor length, Laura Ashley Waverly. It probably came from the Waverly wallpaper book. They still make wallpaper books. Oh, good times picking out borders with my mom when I was a kid. Yeah, remember borders? Do they still even do borders on walls? Ooh, okay. Well, you know who might need to look up wallpaper in books? The Married at First Sight people, because they're all so happy. I mean, these experts, they really know how to pick them, don't they? Passion, the heat, the compatibility. Maybe we should have a seat at the Solis Leasing Center and talk about it. Oh, Solis. I mean, such a great place to get together, whether over a kitchen or some club chairs, and talk about our feelings. Anyone want to live at a Solis apartment complex after this episode? I think not. Now, as a reminder, we are halfway through the season, and I'm going to kind of consolidate the last 2 episodes together because I had to catch up from last week. Let's talk about Iris and Keith first. Iris is still driving me up a fucking wall, and I need to have a serious conversation with you if you like Iris. I'm really curious to see if anyone else is getting the same vibe that I'm getting off of her that I'll talk about in just a minute. Now, the experts gave Iris and Keith this game, and they had to roll a sex dice, and then they had to perform different things on each other. So Iris rolls, and she gets touch toes, and she plays stupid, like, does that mean that we have to touch both of our toes together, or I just have to touch your toes? So she takes her pointer finger and, like, touches his big toe. Now, I get it, because I'm not a person who gets off on rubbing Dave's toes, so I understand, but do you have to be such a puss about it? Then the second one she rolls was like a double entendre, if you will. She rolls it and it says, massage lips. And she's like, what does that mean? And Keith's like, and you could tell he's thinking, you know, the lips down there. But he plays it dumb and he's like, I don't know, what do you think it means? And she's like, I guess it means I touch your lip. I don't know. How about a kiss instead? So she gives him a peck. Then the next roll, it says, touch boobs. And it was like the music in the background was like, dun, dun, dun. I'm going to take issue with the dice company people because boobs, like the word boobs just isn't sexy. Like, it's not going to get me in the mood. If Dave rolled something and it said, I don't know, kiss your boobs, it just sounds very fraternity. Although breast isn't better. And I don't like the T-I-T-S word. It was just dumb, but I thought it was kind of funny. Okay, touch boobs. And of course, she doesn't let him touch anything. So of course, that was a, no, I'm not doing that. No, I don't like this game. So she rolls again, you know, probably thinking she's going to get, I don't know, fully clothe each other. But no, she gets blow boobs, which I thought was just so fucking awesome. And then it was like game over. She's not doing this anymore. Now, after this game, it was kind of cool because Pastor Cal took the guys. So he took Keith, and then Dr. Viviana, gets to talk with the women. I thought it was interesting how the men got to go sit in the study in the leather club chairs, and the women had to be in the kitchen with lemons and serving trays. Okay, I see what you're doing there. But I'm going to allow it because Dr. Viv really holds Iris to this sexual immaturity that she has and her precious gift and taking her virginity. I've had it up to my eyebrow journey with Iris's virginity. I understand it's something that is very precious to her, as she says over and over and over again. But I like the way that Dr. Viv said, it's not taking your virginity. You know, we're not back in medieval times where he is stealing it from her. It is something that she is giving or that they are doing together. They're building intimacy. But Iris says Keith is the one who is not okay with it. No, he keeps trying to further the conversation with her. She is the one that's not comfortable with herself, in my opinion. So when Dr. Cal says, Keith, are you 100% committed to Iris? Anyone else notice the body language? He said yes, but he was shaking his head no. Ugh. Now later, Iris gets freaked out because Keith says, yeah, you know what, to be honest, after I talked to Pastor Cal, I came to this place where I'm okay with telling you I am nervous about being your first. Iris then goes to her confessional thing, her one-on-one with the camera, her audition, if you will, more on that in a second. And she's like, I knew it. I knew he wasn't going to be comfortable, and I am now, so what am I going to do? Cut to date night with a black tarp on the floor. I'll tell you what, if I came home and Dave had a black tarp on the floor and candles lit all creepy in a heart, I would think that he was going to murder me and wrap me up in that thing and dump me in the same river where Lacey's probably floating around on her bag, dead, alive, we don't know. So then we have Iris, and she is, again, in her audition. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. She has this very Jamie Otis-esque posture to her, and she's like, Dr. Viviana told me it would be great if I could break down my intimacy and show Keith where I'd like to be touched. I think it's an excellent idea to bring us together. It's so phony and put on. Ugh, I just cannot stand how fake she is. Like, I feel like her mom is in the background doing stage mom things, like Honey Boo Boo's mom in the background. It creeps me out. She's an overgrown child. But in this sexy moment with the tarp, they have this edible body paint and they are licking each other. It is so uncomfortable. Like a dog, like licking up her leg, and it made me really prudish, and I did not like it. I can't imagine that the cameraman enjoyed that either. No, no. Now then we get to this secret time where they're supposed to share secrets with each other, and Iris has a really, really deep secret. She's not told anyone this before, so don't tell anyone, okay? Don't turn off this podcast and go tell everyone because it's really, really dark. Okay, when Iris was little, she was on a bus. She put a quarter in her mouth, and I don't really remember why because the story was so fucking boring. And then they hit a bump, and she swallowed the quarter. Oh my God. Keith, don't tell anyone, okay? That was like so hard for me to tell you. I swallowed a quarter. I mean, who swallows a quarter, Keith? You guys, seriously, this chick is 9 years old in an adult body, and shame on her parents. Then she does this other voiceover as Jamie Otis, and she says that she's so happy that Dr. Viviana gave us this because I feel so much closer to Keith now that we share secrets, just like couples should do. Smile, wink. It's horrible. I hope you catch the vibe that I'm throwing out there and you're seeing it too. Now, then we get to this hometown part of the episodes. I think they're stealing this from The Bachelor or Bachelorette. And Iris is so happy to see where Keith came from. She's walking around in his room, shuffling things around, and she sees a picture of his graduation. And she's like, this is when you used to smile, Keith. You never smile like that anymore. I'm going to get dessert now. Exit scene. I mean, walk down the stairs. Pretty sure Keith was smiling in every scene we saw him in until you started tap dancing your way into this wannabe hosting gig and dropping word about your special gift every 5 minutes. Iris needs to go away. And I think Keith absolutely feels the same way. Now, Elizabeth and Jamie, Pastor Cal and Dr. Viv definitely have their work cut out for them with these two. Beth shares with Dr. Viv about Jamie's materialistic see you next Tuesday comment. And Pastor Cal tells Jamie to, and I'm going to put this in quotes because I'm about to rip him to fucking shreds because you know I can't stand Pastor Cal. He says, "You react to how you feel, not to what you know, Jamie." No, I don't think that's how it works. You react to how you feel, not to what you know. Well, I feel pissed off because I know that person is being an asshole. Or I feel angry because I know he is being wrong. All right, it's not that complicated. Just because Dr. Phil, one and the same, right? Pastor Cal, just because you talk with your fingertips together, that's like his, "I know I'm right. I'm saying something that's very deep, but it actually is nothing. It's just a wordplay." I cannot stand him. I think he gives the worst advice. Elizabeth is over with Dr. Viv saying that she needs to have less sex during the week. Jamie wants to have sex 5 to 6 times a week. She only wants it 3 to 4. That doesn't seem that far off to me. Both of those numbers sound crazy high after being married for 14 years. I can't even imagine. I mean, that in and of itself sounds like a full-time job. So hell fucking no. Now, later over this fire pit where Elizabeth is sketching in her journal, she shares with Jamie how she's feeling. God, I feel like I'm going to really turn some people off here because I have seen Elizabeth be torn the fuck down on every post about these two. So hear me out. Don't get angry with me if you feel like I'm taking Elizabeth's side. All right, hear me out. I think Jamie is way too prideful for his own good. He's the kind of guy who has to be the right one. Like, his way of doing things is the only way. I see in my mind, and I don't know why my brain goes here, but it does. Let's say they're married and they have a house and they're going to go mow the lawn. If she were to take the lawnmower and go horizontal in the yard, he would be the guy that comes out and that's like, "You got to do it diagonal. Everyone knows that. It's got to be diagonal." He would get all pissed off. Like, he has to have everything his way. He has to be the one with the upper hand. He and Elizabeth start to bicker a little bit over this fire pit outside. I'm sure the neighbors were really thrilled that they couldn't use the shared space because these two assholes are bickering out there, the ultimate bickersons. They come to this compromise that they both think is a great idea, and it's horrible. They're going to spend one night a week talking about their relationship. What's that? Odge and Jer roll-off? I mean, speaking of the fucking devils. This is exactly why I hate the people that I did the Patreon last week. They think they're marriage experts. Their idea is the exact same one that Jamie and Elizabeth just said. One night a week where you talk about your relationship, you bring up issues that you have, and in theory, you're talking things through, right? "Hey, babe, this is something that bothered me this week." No. As someone who has been married for 14 years, many of you have been married many more than that, I think we can generally agree, maybe not specifically, but generally agree that if you are making a night in your relationship where all you're going to talk about is what's bothering you and maybe a couple high points in there, it's going to end up being a weekly fight. You're going to get in that argument because what's going to end up happening is each of you is going to bottle that shit up and be like, "Oh, it's going to fucking go down Thursday night," and you're just going to unload. Especially these two. They don't have the consciousness, the self-awareness to do it civilly. We've seen that and we're going to see it. And what was this talk about waxing Jamie's butthole? I fast-forwarded immediately because I don't want to be near anyone's butthole. That would be something I would pay to come in to do if there was some sort of like medical procedure that Dave had to have done. Isn't there like a colonoscopy you have to do something? Okay, well, I hope not. Anyway, I will hire someone, a CNA, to come and do that. I don't want to be anywhere near Dave's butthole. So the fact that she wanted to wax Jamie's, she really is some kind of sadistic motherfucker. Now let's get to this NASCAR triple date that just blew the fucking internet up. Elizabeth is being so immature and attention hungry. There's the instructor that's trying to tell them all what to do. And you can tell that they lined all the couples up. They lined everyone up and they were supposed to do like this dramatic walk down the, what do you call it, dragway or whatever. And she's talking over the guy as he's trying to give them basic safety information. Or maybe it was even the producer telling them like, all right, you guys line up and walk down this way. Doesn't matter who it was. She could not stop talking about herself. And Jamie is standing completely on the other side of the line, or he's at the end of the line, she's at the other. Why that was that way, I have no idea, because the other couples were all standing next to each other. But he yells at her to just shut up for 5 minutes. Why can't you just shut up for 5 minutes? Now, I kind of agree with Elizabeth here that it was pretty shitty that no one said anything. I would have said something if I were one of those people standing in between them. I would have looked at him and been like, Jesus, that was kind of rude, man. That's really uncalled for. You know, these couples know what the situation is. It's not as if they're like, you know, like, what's his face? Matt said, he's like, I don't know the relationship. I don't know what they've been through. I'm not going to get in it. Listen, this is not like the couple, maybe they've been together for 20 years and this is their dynamic. No, you all got married on basically the same day. You know exactly what they are going through. You're the only people that know what they're going through. So to say, oh no, it's none of my business, that's bullshit. Someone should have said something to him. Even one of the guys been like, come on, man, that's not cool. That's nasty. I think that's pretty shitty. If any of you guys were standing there and someone that you were just married to or dating said to you, would you just shut up for 5 minutes? I would have stepped in and I would have stuck up for you. I mean, it is my business if you are bringing me into your fight. If you are screaming across my body to someone else, you're bringing it into my life and my business, and I'm going to say something. That said, Elizabeth was being a major brat. Stop the pouting. You're 30 years old. The best revenge is to have a really good time in spite of everything that he said, and really to spite him, let's be honest. I mean, I would not be feeding into Beth's little temper tantrum if she wanted to go off and do that like she did once they actually started racing the cars. I wouldn't be talking to her and been like, he's such an asshole. I would have said it back in the line. And then once she kept pouting, I'd been like, fine, she wants to pout. Go ahead, have a ball, do your thing. I'm getting in the car and I'm going to go drive. So let's talk about this race car thing. I really want to know if any of you have access to some sort of racing situation, because last time I saw something on reality TV that I secreted out that I wanted to do, it happened. That was the Real Housewives of Orange County Ropes Course. I ended up doing it. It was way more terrifying than it looked, but I did it. And after watching this episode, I would totally do this race car thing. I would not be able to drive it. I would be like Deanna because I cannot drive stick shift. I tried doing it on the simulator in high school. If you are older, like I am, they would have simulators where it would be like, how do you explain it? Oh, I wish I had one of you here to explain it to the young folks. It was like your own little cubicle, a little fake car. There were no doors or anything, like a little, I was going to say study carrel, but a lot of people probably don't even know what a study carrel is. Your own little car, and everyone would watch a film strip on the big blow-up screen, and you would have to pretend like you were driving, and things would like dart across the road. You have to cover your brake, and it would send a report, like Scantron style, to the teacher. Well, when we were learning stick shift, I might have broken the simulator. Yeah, so needless to say, I never learned how to drive stick shift, but I would definitely ride along and I would feel probably more safe if an expert were driving next to me, especially if he was really hot. So yeah, if you know someone who drives a fast car, a NASCAR, let me know. Maybe we make this an event. Now let's speed forward, wink, wink. I actually planned that. Wasn't that cute? We're going to speed forward to the Seinfeld's apartment where the two of them are boiling over in anger once again. So Jamie is still hanging his hat on getting away with him yelling, shut up to Elizabeth by focusing on her really bad behavior and vice versa. So Elizabeth freaks the fuck out. She flips a table, Teresa Giudice style, and she starts going on this one-woman show about pain and shame and being a victim of everyone's bullying. And Jamie, you just need to stop. Stop it, Jamie. And you can tell, I mean, how much reality TV have we watched? that when someone keeps repeating the same phrase over and over and over again, like, how about that? How about that? Or, you don't know me. You don't know me. I pay my bills. I pay my bills. They get stuck in a loop because they don't know where exactly they're going. Like, ooh, how do I antagonize them next? This is exactly what happens. So Dr. V arrives just in time. I'm calling her Dr. V, by the way, because Viviana or whatever the hell her name is too annoying and too long to remember. So she arrives just in time, thank God, because Jamie's chest zit is also about to pop off. And this is where I hate Married at First Sight. They do this all the time and it drives me nuts. I'm not talking about the brushing teeth scene. They have a clip from the very beginning that looks like it's going to be like, oh my God, we're going to go to blows. And it ends up being nothing. This is the clip where Elizabeth says like, bitch, you don't know me or something like that. And Dr. Viv is like, did you just call me a bitch? And of course it ends up being nothing, absolutely nothing. And the advice that Dr. V ends up giving them is also nothing. So what I'm hearing is you need to work on sex and connection. And when you connect, you'll have more sex, Jamie. And then when you have more sex, you'll be able to connect. Oh, thanks, Dr. Viv. Maybe put your fingertips together like Pastor Cal and it'll all come full circle. Now let's jump to Beth's childhood home. Again, they're doing their bachelorette thing. And she grew up in a trailer and she's boohooing about it. Okay, it was sad. You had a hard upbringing. I get it. Jamie's doing a really good job of making us believe he feels badly for calling Elizabeth materialistic. However, plot twist, later on in their drive, Beth says she hasn't seen anyone since her major meltdown at the racetrack, and then she throws out that she doesn't regret what she did. This hashtag triggers Jamie, and he tells her to grow the fuck up. Now, here is where I kind of have to take Elizabeth's side here. I do think she is incredibly immature. I think she has a hair trigger temper. I think she's spoiled, kind of self-centered. But Jamie is so self-righteous, and he does the exact same thing. He really does kind of gaslight her, because as soon as she says, I don't regret it, he jumps on that, and he goes right back into the same old thing that he would do before, calling names, telling her to grow the fuck up and that she hasn't learned anything and that he's going to call things off and divorce her because she's not accountable. He was just told to not do that and he did it. But what's going to happen is they're both going to go to Dr. Viv or Pastor Cal and say, she didn't take accountability and he called me names. I think they are good for each other in that they're both very confident, that they think highly of themselves. They both think that they deserve the best and like their shit doesn't stink, basically. Now moving on to Matt and Amber. Well, Amber was left alone for another night. She's got her little home video. It's 1:35 a.m. and she's bawling. I just want him to come home. I want him to hold me. I'll do anything. Turns out it wasn't just one night. He hasn't been home for the past two nights. And when Pastor Cal talks to Matt, he says that he thinks that they have a solid foundation. And Pastor Cal comes in with like a Z-snap. We're talking about you and Amber. Where have you been? When the cameras are off, where have you been? And then Matt does like his smile where his eyes are really big and he kind of sticks his tongue out and his mouth is open like, and he says he was off clearing his mind. And then Matt says, you know what? You're right, Pastor Cal. Actions speak louder than words. And Pastor Cal damn near jumps out of his seat and screams, bingo, you have to show and follow through, Matt. Oh, wait, hold on. Pastor Cal, you may want to hashtag that. You may want to tag it, put a quote on it like Dr. Jessica does. Actions speak louder than words. I mean, my God, someone should have thought of that phrase before. God, Pastor Cal, whew, get this man his own show. Now, Dr. Viv is basically telling Amber to leave, like, yeah, I don't blame you. I would have checked out a long time ago. But Amber wants to stay, and she tells him later that she has feelings for him, and he has feelings for her, so why not come to a compromise? And her compromise is, you can go out, do your thing, but I want two texts at night, one in the beginning of the night, one at the end of the night, and you have to be home by 2:30 a.m. And the next thing we see, they're in bed. She's giggling like a child. And I, for the first time ever, I think I actually made a cringe face, like, ugh. It totally turned me off to her. I like Amber, but girl, when you're clingy and you're giggling like a baby, whether you're a woman or a man, that's not cute. I mean, no wonder Matt thought it was a good idea to take sex off the table. I'm not trying to diss Amber. I think she's a nice woman, but it's a good idea for both of them. I think Amber is confusing Matt's sexual appetite for love for her, and it's uncomfortable to watch. Then later, during their hometown visit, they go to Matt's childhood home, and Amber is begging Matt to tell her what his sister would call him because apparently he was a chubby kid. I could tell, I'm sure you could too, that he was very sensitive about it, did not want to talk about it. But Amber thought it was just so fun to relive painful memories of the people you love calling you fat. So she keeps asking him, tell me, oh, you were fat. And he's like, no, I don't want to talk about it. And she pushed at it at least two or three more times. You think as a teacher of middle schoolers, you would know that's not something that kids generally find funny to talk about or bring up. And what does she do? She turns around and says, oh, I love it. I'm going to speak for all former chubby kids or current chubby adults. We don't like talking about what our family members called us, okay? At one point, I was large fry, just saying that. Now, Deanna and Greg's friend, Pico de Gallo. I love the guy. I loved his fun little colorful bracelet. He had like the best smile and the best teeth. Bring us some more Pico. Dr. Viv and Pastor Cal visits. Oh, right. Okay. Same old. Really not a lot to talk about with these two. Dr. Viv thinks Deanna's not opening up. Crazy. We never thought that before. And Pastor Cal, again with his touching fingers, says that you don't fall in love, Greg. You grow in love. I know. Heart-stopping moment. Then we go to Topgolf. I have not yet been. I have been holding out because, like I said, Dave used to be a golf pro. So, you know, he hits the ball and it goes the same distance that it takes me six times to get to. So it's a little intimidating. But after watching this, I need to get over there. And Deanna never looked better. She looked so pretty. She was glowing. She was smiling like I've never seen her smile. And Greg going out of his way, contacting all her friends and family to show up and surprise her. I loved it. And he didn't even get all party pooper when he sucked at golf, which he did, but it was adorable. Although the birthday signs, when everyone working there came out, was like, happy, happy birthday. Stop it, employers, business owners. Stop making your employees go and sing happy birthday. No one enjoys receiving a happy birthday song. And if you do, what else do you like? You probably like Circus Peanuts and what else? Necco wafers. Those are disgusting. Sorry, but if you like them, something's wrong with you. And don't you dare show up with a sombrero wanting to sing happy birthday Feliz Cumpleaños to me because I will get up and I will run out of there and I will bring the chips and salsa with me. I'll have my own party in the back room or in the parking lot. All I need are chips and salsa. And some 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but the title of this episode is Love is a Battlefield. And I've been singing that nonstop for the last 16 hours. Let's start with Darcy. Dear God, I can tell you right now, I did not take a single note on Darcy. I normally just have my laptop in front of me and I just jot down the funny shit that I see. I didn't even do that with Darcy because it's all up here in this noggin. I could not look away. Darcy sitting on that bed, rolling around. I don't want to say I have been Darcy. I have seen a lot of Darcys in my time. I might have felt like Darcy a time or two. I'm talking about being that drunk girl that you think you're having a connection with this guy at a party, okay? You are feeling good. Your friends have been like, he likes you, girl, totally. I've read his text. He's so into you. And then you find out that he's not into you. You are that girl that is sitting there crying because you know that you have made an ass of yourself, but you still think that there's a slight chance that he's into you. Like, maybe you're reading it wrong. Maybe you just need to turn it around. Darcy is at that level times, I don't know, it's like an exponent, all right? She's writhing around on this bed, and I think Darcy is the type that thinks crying and then nuzzling up to a man is a real turn on. And it probably was for Jesse because, you know, he's like a serial killer. He probably likes seeing his prey cry before he murders them. But this guy, what's his name? Tom. I don't even know if this guy is straight. I don't know if he's asexual, if he's just an asshole. We know he's a liar because he's been found out all over social media for stealing people's pictures. The best is this one where he says his parents live in someone's old mansion and he lives in the West Wing. Someone did a quick Wikipedia search and it turns out that this place is like a public housing facility. So his parents could be living in this mansion, but it's really probably like a one bedroom or a studio or something. This guy's such an asshole, such a phony. But Darcy is too. She's walking around in Louboutin boots and she's got her Gucci suitcases or Louboutin. And she's maybe renting a room at her ex-husband's house or something like that. They really kind of deserve each other, but he's not into her. And it's really uncomfortable to watch this whole thing. The boat ride. Oh my God. Beside the fact that she could not walk. That's not sexy. All right, ladies. If you cannot walk in your shoes and you're toddling along, knock it off. If you feel like a walker would be helpful when you are wearing your heels, wear some flats. Wear a pump if you must, but stop wearing ridiculous shoes like this. So Darcy barely makes it onto the boat before she buckles her knee like that one chick walking down the runway, that one model. Oh, I could watch those films all day long. Films. What am I talking about? Like we're at a film festival. Anyhow, they're on this boat. Tom is looking at her saying he turned down dates with other women, which I have a hard time believing. And here we have Darcy wondering if they're going to be getting engaged and are they going to get married here or there? How could they be on such different planes of reality or non-reality? How is it that Darcy thinks she's going to get married on this trip? And Tom is wondering if they should go on a formal date. That's pretty much what level we're at. And this bloody nose thing, I found that very peculiar. Like, why would he have that little tuft of toilet paper in his nose? It's not really doing anything at that point if it's such a tiny little piece. Like, he's almost being a baby about it, an attention whore. Like, oh, I had a boo-boo on my nose and there's blood all over. Are we thinking that's what the blood was from? Could it have gotten there somehow else? Like maybe he had, I don't know, an ingrown hair that burst because he probably shaves his legs and his chest and, well, who knows what else he shaves. Maybe he waxes his asshole like Jamie on Married at First Sight. Something's up with that. I don't believe the nosebleed thing because it was like in the middle of the sheets too. Like I don't think she has her period, right? I don't think she would go there on her period. We would have seen a tampon string based on, God, I'm getting really nasty here, but come on, let's face it. That short little coat and that bodysuit, we would have seen something hanging, perhaps, if she were being visited by her auntie Florence. Oh my God, that's so disgusting. I'm so sorry, you guys. Let's just move on. Oh God, is something even grosser? You know who I have up next? Rebecca and Syed. This guy, ugh. Does anyone like him? Is there anyone else on this planet besides Rebecca and maybe his parents that like him? He is such an overgrown man-child, and he's got womanly curves. He's clearly mooching off of Rebecca. He's mooching the car, a nice hotel stay. He's even wearing her clothes now, too. The leather blazer, the mock turtleneck, even the little bike shorts that he wore to his game. I'm going to end up saying this every single week, beating a dead horse's ass. Rebecca can do so much better. Now, I have not looked at any spoilers for this couple like I have for some of the other ones. I really don't like to do that when I'm recapping it because it just kind of taints my opinion of the people that I'm talking about. So I don't like to do it. Some of them I just see on accident, but I am purposely not looking at anything about these two. I'm going to be so, so disappointed in Rebecca if she's still with him because I just know it. I know that there is an American man out there for her. She can do so much better, especially after freaking Syed is bragging to his friends right in front of her that he's living the high life and his rented Camry that she has and all these fancy Ann Taylor blouses that she's providing to him. He's such a fucking asshole. And jump to this makeover scene where she's blow drying his hair. how Rebecca manages to touch and blow out Syed's greasy locks. Like, you can't even tell if his hair is wet or dry. It's that level of filth and too much serum paired with that tiny bristle roll brush that's probably 15 years old. It's probably the one brush he's had his entire life. And then they have ponytail. I'm at a loss for words. I don't know what look he is going for. And then to walk out being like, yep, this is it. This is the look I want. I am looking hot tonight. And sets the whole look with a full body spray of Axe or Febreze or anti-static cling spray. Disgusting. And I think Rebecca was already fed up and kind of grossed out with him at this point. There was something in the tone of her voice when she told him to get his shoes on. I know that voice. I know that tone. I say it every goddamn morning to my kids whenever they're walking out the door. Get your shoes on. Don't be mad. It's okay. Take a deep breath. We're going to have a good time. Rebecca is being a mother to this overgrown water snake goober of a man. And I'm not saying that because of her age. I'm saying that because he's an overgrown man child. I'm going to go so far as to say Rebecca might have been digging Azen's older brother instead of Syed at that bar. Are we all on the same page with that guy that was sitting next to her, that was looking at her? That was an Azen. He truly looked exactly like Azen. And I'm not being racist or grouping all Tunisians together, Moroccans together. They had the exact same haircut, the same profile, the same weak chin. I thought the guy was being complimentary at first, and Syed was just, you know, a squirmy squiggle of a man trying to prove his manhood. And okay, before I go on and talk about anything else, I want to talk about Rebecca, whether she was right or wrong in taking her coat off there. She's getting a lot of shit, and I did see a little video that she posted that I think maybe it was sarcasm reposted this morning. Rebecca is saying that she should not have taken her coat off. She recognizes that it was a stupid thing to do, that it was not respectful in another country where women are not supposed to show their skin. So she does apologize. She explains it by saying that her ex was very controlling and she was trying to maybe test Syed, and that we're going to have to see how that ends up next week and what shook out from that. So I guess we have to sort of hold off judgment, but I see where she was coming from, but she did need to think, okay, I'm in another country. This may not be even a safe thing for me to do. Now, Caesar and Maria, you guys, I mean, what do we do about Caesar? Short of hiring Rebecca, a PI, to find out who this Maria bitch really is so we can go and slap the baby lips right off of her, what do we do? Caesar is eating ramen in his sad, sad kitchen with grape stickers all over it. And he's so damn hopeful. Even that producer was choked up. I listened 3 times. That producer was damn near crying, asking him what keeps him going when Maria doesn't answer him. And his answer was always hope. God, I miss Obama. Okay, Avery and Omar. Avery tries on dresses and she likes sparkles. Now, I know her mom is supposed to be the bad guy, and everyone's saying her mom's such a bitch, but I don't think her mom is a bitch at all. I don't even think she's being that cynical. I think she's actually being pretty damn supportive of her daughter, all in all. She's paying for the dress with a credit card. She flew Avery out there. Avery's not paying for this ticket by herself. She went out there with her daughter. I would be asking the same questions if this were my daughter, okay? I probably would have asked the questions before I left for this trip, maybe have a FaceTime with Omar, ask those questions, or even go with Avery to worship and ask the community the questions that she had. I think they're legitimate if that's the information that she has accessible to her. I'm just giving her the benefit of the doubt, okay? I'm a fellow mom. I would be beside myself if my daughter were to change any religion, whether it be Judaism, Catholicism, whatever. I'd be doing the same thing, all right? Now, my son, I tried looking at it that way too. Would I be as protective of my daughter and my son equally? I don't think I'm going to have to worry about it. He was crying over having to pick up dog shit by himself yesterday, so we haven't even made it out of the backyard. Moving on to Timothy. I cannot believe I was actually feeling a little regretful about being so hard on Timothy last week. I said he looked like Audrina Patridge mixed with a million-dollar listing douche, but I do not feel badly anymore. Hell fucking no. If you are going to douche around the airplane wearing those stupid gold under-eye mask things, you deserve all the snark. Like, what does he think he's achieving by doing that? Like, someone's going to look at him and be like, oh my God, is that Lisa Vanderpump? Christy Brinkley, is that you? My God, your skin is glowing. No, douchebag. And then to put the sunglasses on, you are in a tube in the sky. You are not outside laying on a beach. Take the sunglasses off. You're not a movie star. I hate when people do that. Or when you see people in Duck Club wearing sunglasses. I walk in my house and I feel like I'm Stevie Wonder if I still have my sunglasses on. I cannot stand that. Now, Jennifer, I did not have an opinion. I was being very respectful. I reserved my opinion until I saw her doing her rope workout thing with her freaking hair down. Get the fuck out of here. Thanks for flicking your sweat everywhere, warrior princess. Go think you're sexy somewhere else, flicking your hair and doing your Aquafina commercial, drinking your water like that. When you're working out, the last thing you want to do is see bitches like this flicking and twisting and thinking that they're in some music video. The rest of us are just trying to burn a few calories, hoping that our fat rolls don't accidentally hit the buttons on our phones and pause our podcast, and we are silently judging you because it's well-deserved. These two are so fake and phony and desperate to look like they have this Hollywood, LA, Kardashian lifestyle, and it is embarrassing to watch. When Jennifer was swimming in that pool, thinking she's a mermaid, did you see her, like, she had her arms down next to her sides and she's just twisting her waist? I did that shit in fourth grade because I thought I looked like Ariel underwater, and guess what? I didn't. I looked like an idiot just like Jennifer did. And then she splayed out looking like Larissa meets Anfisa. She's talking about how Timothy needs to respect her more because his baby mama, this and that, and he needs to respect her as a woman and as a mother. Really? Because you were just flicking your ropes and your sweat and your little sexy faces, and every photo that you send him is your ass or your boobs. So which way do you want him to look at you? Because if something's not matching up here. That's an Uncle Buck moment. Bug, Nat, is there a little similarity there? Now, left turn for just a moment. Jennifer's daughter, Violet. Holy shit, the cuteness. She is almost as cute as my nieces when they were that same age. My nieces were born in Costa Rica, so they're half Tica. And oh my God, little babies, when they have a little Latin blood in them, my heart just instantly wants to kidnap them all. Now, in saying that, don't give this little angel, that massive syphilis bear, that teddy bear that Timothy lugged along with him is covered in shit and piss and boogers and skin cells, the flu, listeria, everything that goes through an airport. Having watched every episode, every season of every type of border control show available, I am speechless that this thing made it past customs. Nevertheless, Jennifer allows her lovely daughter to carry pneumonia all across Bucaramanga into the taxi where Timothy, God, I love this, Timothy gets in and bangs his massive, huge, tall, vintage MTV Beavis and Butthead head into the door. You can't even make this shit up. I mean, his head is that large that he can't even make it through the door. And then Jennifer gets mad at him because his Largo Cabeza doesn't fit in the car, so he can't turn his head to look at her. Like, he physically cannot have the room available for his head in there. Like, he needs the taxi that Darcy drove in because there's a lot more headroom in there. Maybe that's why he needs to have that special Lamborghini car, because there's no top on it. Like, he really needs a sunroof, a moonroof, just to fit in. You think that's why he has to live in a warm weather climate? Because he needs a car where he can lift the top up so he can fit his big head. Oh, Timmy. Poor guy. Actually, not really. That's right. I forgot. I hate him. I also hate Jennifer because, all right, I'm not going to stereotype here. I'm just going to speak from experience. when I would visit my sister in Costa Rica, I would always look around and I'd be very American, as my sister would tell me. You know, I had flip-flops, shorts, a tank top. I wouldn't have a full face of makeup. But everywhere I looked, all the women would be made up. They'd be walking around on a Tuesday morning in like Darcy heels. And my sister was like, okay, Jody, you have to understand, that's a cultural thing. They dress for men. They dress to be seen. And I think that's what's going on with Jennifer. She's just very conceited. She's used to men staring at her at all times, thinking she's gorgeous and hot. So when Timothy is not looking at her because he can't, because his head doesn't fit, she takes it personally. Like, what's wrong with this guy? Look at me. Why isn't he looking at me? I'm stunning. Again, we know it's just because he has head issues. Now let's talk about little Violet, who's just, quote, chilling out over there, chilling with her bear. Yeah, it's because if she makes a damn move, she's going to be flying out the fucking window with the next breeze that comes because she's not strapped in even close. Such a good mom. Such a good mom. Way to go. Timmy can tell, guys. Timmy knows, probably because he's always looking 10 and 2. Eyes straight ahead in his car. He picks up on everything, all those safety rules, because he can't turn his head. All right, Benjamin and Akini. Benjamin is related to Nicole and Robbie, right? Like, they've got to be two ancestry branches apart at the most, because the family resemblance is striking. Benjamin's brother and sister looked exactly like Nicole. It was like Nicole in a wig, maybe even Nicole's little brother in the back seat. It's crazy. Just the creamy, pasty skin tone. Butter. Or like peaches and cream. God, I wish I had that skin tone. Let's talk about Akini very briefly, because I can't. I will start crying when Akini and her friend or sister, whoever that was, when they were holding hands on the street, I damn near lost it. It brought back memories of the very last scene in The Color Purple. God, they're holding hands and they're doing like that clapping game thing. It's just the innocence, the vulnerability, and Akini, she's just very honest. And I love that about her. And I love how they love each other and their friendship and that bond, lack of circumstance and opportunity that they live in. It's heartbreaking. And thank God Akini and Benjamin seemed to click when they met each other at the airport, at least so far. I really hope that they get on with each other, because I want better for Akini and I want her friend to come here and I want everyone to live happily ever after. All right, guys, that does it for this week. Thanks for tuning in. Remember, subscribe, share, leave a 5-star review, or just click 5 stars on your podcast app. It really, truly helps me out. Head on over to patreon.com/realityvpod for all those perks. Also, listen to Total Request Podcast coming up this week. We are going to be talking about Laguna Beach. I have never seen it, and the episode that Amanda assigned us is 18 Candles, I believe. Also, be sure to check out Moms on the Rocks. We're going to be having a new episode, I believe, next week. And until next time, take care of yourselves, have an awesome week, and stay salty.